Amma Abad. First and foremost, we should make shukar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us another opportunity to another day of Jumu'ah, another opportunity to perform our Jumu'ah Salah. It is mentioned that our pious predecessors, they used to make shukar for four things. The first thing they used to make shukar for and they used to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is the gift of Iman. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, made us Muslims. He's granted us this pure, pristine gift of Iman. There was no application or we didn't have to apply for it, we didn't have to ask for it, we didn't have to beg for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted it to us out of His mercy. We were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they used to make shukr that they are Muslims, that they are recitors of this kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know at the end of the day, the Iman is the key to Jannah. So basically we have been given Jannah for free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. So they used to make shukr for this gift of Iman. The second thing they used to make shukr for is the opportunity of being from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we could have been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen us to be from any other ummah. So many anbiya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to be from the best ummah. The ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummah was the last ummah, but the best ummah. And the third thing that they used to make shukr for was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed their faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed our faults. That so many sins a person does every day. Kullu bani adam khatta'un wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that every ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sinner. If every one of us make mistakes, we are all human, we all make mistakes. But the best one is the one who repent. So we all make sins, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a veil and cover over our sins. A person comes out of his house the next day, no one knows what sin he has done the previous night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden that sin. In the time of Nabi sallallahu, in the time of the Bani Israel, sometimes a person, when he would do a certain sin in the night, he would do something wrong. Then on the next day it would be written on his door that so and so committed such a sin. So in everyone, the whole community would come to know that this person, what he did. So we should make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered our sins. And in the same vein, we should not be such that we will rip off that veil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put over our sins. By exposing our sins and boasting about our sins and telling people about our sins. Many a time a person does a certain sin and then he goes and discusses it with his friends. He goes and tells people about it, or he discusses with his friends, etc. So when a person does that, he is removing that veil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put over his sins. And the fourth thing that we should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is that the rozi and sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us rozi in some form of the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking after us. If a person because at the end of the day, rozi and sustenance is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling every aspect of the rozi. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He increases sustenance for whoever He wishes. وَيَقَدِرْ. And He withholds sustenance from whoever He wishes. So in the end of the day, who is controlling the rozi? The job a person has, or the business that he has, or that salary he is earning, is not sustaining him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is sustaining him. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a person's sustenance very easy for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him abundant wealth. And he'll be very comfortable. And some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold their sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't give them as much. Allah ta'ala knows in His infinite wisdom why He does such things. But could be a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if I give this person a lot of money, then he is going to be further away from me. If he has less, then he is closer to me. I want him to be close to me. So I will not give him so much. And the other person who has a lot of wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this person here, if I have to give him less, like the other person, then he will get go further away from me. But if I am giving him more, he's making so much of shukr, etc., and giving so much of charity, etc., that he is closer to me. So that is better for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in his infinite wisdom why he gives certain person wealth and why he withholds some others. If you have to ponder just this aspect of sustenance, then we can, this alone is enough to encapsulate and showcase the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many creatures in this earth, besides the humans, insan, how many different creatures are there? Birds, insects, animals, sea creatures, thousands and millions of creatures there are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining every single one of them. That bird in the morning comes out from its nest, it doesn't have a job, doesn't have a salary, doesn't get a salary every end of the month, doesn't have a business, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for that bird. That ant, the smallest small creature, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for that ant. There's one interesting story about Sulaiman alayhi salam. So once Sulaiman alayhi salam was blessed with the ability to speak to animals, he could speak to ants, birds, creatures, etc., and jinn. So he used to communicate with the animals. So once he asked an ant that, oh ant, how much, tell me, how much does an ant eat in a year? So the ant replied that ant eats 3 grains of wheat a year, ant will eat. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said, okay, let's test this out. So he put that ant in a bottle and he left it, he put 3 grains of wheat in that bottle. Then he said, let's leave it for a year and let's see whether this ant really eats 3 grains or not. So after 1 year, he opened that bottle and he saw there was 1.5 grains left. So he asked the ant that you are lying. You said that there's only, that the ants eat 3 grains of rice, grains of wheat. So the ant said, that is true. The ant does eat 3 grains of wheat. But you are such a busy, you are so busy, such a busy man, Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was afraid that after 1 year you'll forget about me. So I'll be stuck here for a longer time. So I was rationing and eating little bit every day. So this is a story about the ant. If you look at a bigger creature, the whale of the ocean, how much, how big the creature of the ocean is, according to some study, whales eat approximately 10 to 20 tons of food a day. 10 to 20 tons of food a day. That equals to around 20 to 30 million calories. Or, as our understanding, if you're looking at basically 70 to 80,000 burgers a day a whale eats. Who is sustaining the creature? Who is sustaining the creature? And how many, not one whale, how many whales are there in the ocean? Thousands, maybe millions, we don't even know. Some creatures are in the bottom, such depths that man can't even explore and discover yet. There are such creatures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining those creatures as well. So, if a person, if he just has to understand this, then he will not look for his sustenance anywhere else. The first person he will turn to, the first being he will turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone is giving you something, then generally you want to be in his good books. If a person has a high ranking government official as a friend or as a contact, that you, anything goes wrong or you need anything, this, you know, this person will sort you out. He will help you out. He will look after you. You are covered. So, what are you going to do? You're going to maintain that friendship. You're going to look after that friendship. You might take gift, get some gift for that person. You do good to him. You are not going to badmouth him. You're not going to disobey him. You will try your best to be in his good books. So in the same way, why are we, despite knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of whatever we have, whatever He gives us, He gives us everything, but we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can it be? So the logical thing to do will be to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of our ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. That is, anything a person needs, anything, whether it be health, whether it be wealth, whether it be comfort, whether it be children, anything a person wants, it is by me. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. That anything a person wants, all its treasures are by me. All a person has to do is turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask. But in the same way, this does not mean that a person must just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that's the be all and end all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a system that you have to make some effort. A moderate effort is required. A person must not go overboard in his effort and he should not be make no effort at all. He should make a moderate effort. A person cannot sit at home on his couch and just say, I'm hungry, I want food, and just sit there and expect the food to come to him. No, he has to go to the kitchen, make something, or open the fridge, or go to some shop and buy the food. So in the same way, you have to make some effort also. So, you have to look, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in Hadith Qudsi, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, that all of us are hungry. And it is only I who feed you. Only I who feed you. So, seek your provisions from me. Anything you need, do not be shy to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, even if they needed a strap or a shoelace, they would perform two rakats of salah and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they want. So any time a person needs anything, make two rakats, make wudu, make two rakats of salah, come to the masjid or at home, and make dua and lift your hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at in this life, there are two types of problems. The first problem is a problem that is out of a person's control. Person, he was driving and someone knocked him and he made an accident. Or person, some natural disaster occurred and he lost his house, he lost his wealth. Or anything bad that happens out of a person's control. The price of something went up. It's out of a person's control. So those that are problems which are out of person's control. But there are certain problems which are self-inflicted. A person, he was driving recklessly and then he met an accident. A person, he was wasting his wealth and he lost all his money. Or if you have to look at medically, a person, maybe he was genetically, his parents or his grandparents had diabetes and then he inherited the gene, so he also had diabetes. That is out of his control. He's a healthy person, he's not indulging in sweets and excessive sugar, but he has diabetes through genetics. That is out of his control. But on the other hand, we have a person who lives an unhealthy lifestyle. He's not looking after his health, not doing exercise, not eating healthy, eating junk food, a lot of stress, anxiety, not getting enough sleep. Then a person gets sick and he gets certain diseases. That those diseases are self-inflicted. Now if a person, he wants to get cured from these diseases or some sickness that he has, then the first thing he needs to do, if a person has diabetes and he wants to treat the diabetes, the first thing he needs to do is cut down on the sugar. He has to make the effort. He has to. He can't just make dua and carry on eating his sweets. He has to make that effort, cut down on the sugar, cut out the sugar completely, take his medication, and then he will see some results. So, if you have to look at our lifestyle, in the same place for our person's lifestyle. Sometimes financially a person, because of he wants to compete with a certain person, he wants to live a certain type of life, he wants to wear a certain kind of shoe, he wants to drive a certain type of car. So he will take out a loan, an interest-bearing loan, or he will borrow some money, and he will live beyond his means. And that will cause him to fall into financial difficulty that is self-inflicted. So nowadays a person, because the trend is something is trendy, something is going viral, then a person wants to be part of that. So even if he is below his means, he's still going to try and live up to that lifestyle. But what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, that you should live live within our means. A person, he should, whatever he needs, he should do. And the luxuries, if we can afford it, alhamdulillah. If we cannot afford it, then make dua, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that if a person, how to get contentment in our life. A person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught as a technique that how a person can get contentment in his life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person, that a person should look at those below him. If a person, he has a very old shoe or not a latest shoe, it's a good shoe but it's not the latest. So he feels now, he feels bad that he wants a little shoe. All his friends have this shoe. All his friends have this new car. All his friends have this new watch. But what he should do? At that time, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, at that time, look at someone below you. Look at someone who doesn't have shoes. Look at someone who has torn shoes. Look at someone who doesn't have a watch. Look at someone who doesn't have a car. Then, when a person does that, then he will become content. There's some degree of peace will enter his heart, and he will be able to become content with whatever he has. That's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. Another way a person can, his rosy can be affected through self-infliction is by sins. Sometimes a person does, mentioned in a hadith, that sometimes a person's rosy and his sustenance is withheld due to some sin that he committed. Because of some wrong thing that he did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding back his sustenance. So there's a blockage between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how, what is the solution to that? How are we going to clear that blockage? Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent from sins. And the more closer we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our sustenance and our, and grant us barakah in our lives. If you have to look at the solution to all the financial problems in the world, so there are two types. The first one is kasrat. A person is, doesn't have enough wealth, sustenance, so kasrat, he will try and increase it. He'll try, okay, I have this one job, let me try and get a side hustle, let me try and get some money from here, make some money from there, buy this, sell that, making the effort, but he's making the effort through kathrat. There's nothing wrong with it. A person can do that. But there's not, that must not be the be all and end all. A person must not just go after the means and looking for more, but he should make dua and try and go after barakat. So we have kathrat, which is quantity, and then we have barakat. So a person can have kathrat, he can have a lot of money, can be a wealthy person, but every time something is breaking, something is getting stolen, something is, some calamity is happening, so he doesn't have any peace. He's always on edge. He's a king. He's sitting in his palace, beautiful palace, in his high bedroom. Most luxurious bed and mattress, most comfortable pillows, most expensive sheets and linen. And he's lying in his bed and he can't sleep. He can't get a single wink of sleep. But he looks out his window and he sees his slave sleeping on the floor with a brick as a pillow, and he's out. He's having the sleep of his life and he's enjoying himself under the sky. So a person can have all the wealth in the world, but if you don't have barakat, then what is it? But if a person can have little, can have a little amount of money, just sufficing for his needs, but he has barakat, then what he can do from that money, it may not be logical to us, that how can so little money, so much can get done. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. That whatever a person can do with a little amount of money, another person cannot do with a lot of money. One simple example that I also, someone mentioned it to me, an example, just one example of, maybe an example of barakat. Maybe a person, he went to the shop to buy some groceries or some item that he needs, or some shoe. So he goes there and he takes the money that he needs, and it so happened that when he went to the till, it was on special, half price. So he got that thing unexpectedly at half price. So that is a type of barakat, that you're supposed to pay 200 rand, for example. You're only paying 100 rand. So that is a type of barakat. Or a person, he really wanted to buy something, he needs something, he was saving up the money to buy it, and then someone gifted the thing to him. So that is a type of barakat. One example of barakat that we can logically think of, but really we cannot understand this concept of barakat. So now, how do we get this barakat in our life? So the way to get this barakat in our life is with amal. Is with a'mal, with actions, good deeds, taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not fear as in a person fears a lion, or he fears a robber, or he fears someone stronger than him. Not that kind of fear, but a fear that you should not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a lion. No, you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my beloved, and you are scared to upset your beloved. A person has a wife, or he has a child, or he has someone he looks up to. Then he is not scared of that person, but he is scared of making that person upset. He does not want to displease that person. That is the meaning, some taste of taqwa. That we should adopt this quality, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count as barakah in our lives. Another example, a person increases amal, salah, zakat, a person makes sure he is discharging his zakat correctly. And a person wants barakat in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you have to look in that surah Waqia, besides surah Waqia, every night a person will never experience poverty. A person reads surah Yasin every morning, all his needs for the day are fulfilled. A person reads his charge and ishraq namaz, the day, his daily bread becomes easy. All his deeds are fulfilled. Person makes zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of rosy for him. If you have to look at the dua of while speaking wuzu, Allahumma aghfir li dhanbi wa wasi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Say, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Why is making wuzu, the dua? Allah, forgive my sins. وَوَسِعْنِي فِي دَارِي And make my house spacious for me. That make my house comfortable for me. That I don't need to go for any holiday. I don't need to go for any vacation. I'm comfortable. I'm happy in my house. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِي And grant me barakat in my sustenance. So these are a few things we can do to get barakat in our sustenance in our lives. And so we should all make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to recognize, we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustains us, but we need to practice upon it and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He adds barakah and He grants us barakah in our sustenance, in our lives, in our families, in our ibadat, and in our time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين